Porch Stories on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Sarah Hegland. Every month, we invite residents of Central Iowa for a potluck and neighborly conversational storytelling. As we sit around the table and tell each other stories of our lives, we pass around the recording microphone so we can share them with you on the radio. So sit back, enjoy something to drink, and imagine you have joined us. The theme of this evening's stories is Someone I Loved. Listen to the laughter and the joy of conversational storytelling. We are your neighbors.
My name is Amy Vire. I went to college in about 1999, and majorly most of my college was torn between either performing opera and singing or doing hair. Those were my two creative outlets that I did. And my freshman year of college, I met a very unique individual about two doors down, and her name was Serena, and she was half Armenian, half Italian, so she had this wild, crazy hair that had grown out, this springy mess of hair. And my brother, who was working at the college at the time, became very fast friends with her, and I met her down the hall, and one day she just decided she wanted her hair gone. Completely shaved, bald, gone. And so I told her, all right, if you still want to do it in a week, I will shave off your hair. And so she gave it a week, and she had not changed her mind one iota. And so down in the laundry room of the dorm, we just shaved her head bald. And she loved it. She was so happy by it. She was thrilled to have her hair gone. But the years kind of went on, and her hair slowly grew out, and I completely forgotten that I had even shaved her head. And my brother fell in love with her. And they got engaged, and we flew out to California for the wedding. And my sister-in-law's mother said, oh, will you please sing and do hair? So I was doing hair and singing at the same time with the wedding. They went together very well. And so I said, oh, I didn't bring anything. I'm not prepared. The only thing I have here is this death aria that I was going to do next year for an opera where literally I am on stage dying singing. I was like, you don't want me singing this in the middle of this huge wedding, you know, that kind of thing. And she begged me, and she was like, please, 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 please sing. I love your voice. Sing, you know. And so I said, oh, all right, I'll sing. And so I waited all during the reception, waiting to sing with performance anxiety, going, come on, let me get it over with. And it took a while, and I finally got on stage, and about 2 seconds before I started singing, I looked out at the audience, and I went, oh, my sister-in-law's mother's family is pure half Italian, and my aria is in Italian. And it's a death aria. It's like everyone is going to be knowing what I'm singing about during this wedding, which usually doesn't happen. Usually nobody knows what you're singing if you're singing opera in a wedding. And so I was just horrified that all of a sudden I am singing about dying in the middle of my brother's wedding. So it went on, and I think my pronunciation ended up being bad enough that nobody quite got that I was singing about death. But it finally got over with, and to top it all off, my sister-in-law's father came out, and he had just found out that I was the one who cut off his daughter's hair. And he was just like, can you believe that this beautiful young woman with this gorgeous voice cut off my child's hair in the middle of all the weddings and all the guests and everybody? And so I guess the moral of the story is don't shave off anybody's hair. You never know if they're going to be your sister-in-law.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, there was this thing that kept happening for a while where the doorbell would ring, and then we would go to the front door and nobody would be there. And we couldn't, and this went on for months, and we couldn't figure it out. And it was just really weird. And it happened like every day, so it wasn't like just once in a while. And so like a really common occurrence would be that I would, you know, the doorbell would ring, I'd go to the front door, nobody was there, but then I'd let the dog in. So this went on for a really long time, and we were all like, it became like this big joke, like there's a ghost, right? And then one day when I went, when this happened, the doorbell rang, I went to the front door, and nobody was there, but the dog was sitting there in front of the door. And finally, like after months, the light finally went on my head. And I was like, oh yeah, Pavlov's dog, right? And because I opened the door and the dog ran in. And so I said, wait a minute. So I looked at the doorbell, you know, that the place where the doorbell was. And sure enough, there were like claw marks all around the doorbell. So my story is about my dog, because he was very smart. You know, he had figured out how to ring the doorbell. And his name was Frischli. And Frischli was born in the Swiss Alps. He was what they call an Appenzell, which is a working dog. It's the dog which they use to herd the cows in Switzerland. And you don't ever really see the breed here in the United States because it never was really cultivated into a pet. They're really just used as working dogs. And most of them in Switzerland are called Blass because Blass means blaze because the dog has a blaze down its front. And so in Switzerland, if the farmer yells Blass, all of the dogs, you know, work. You know, that's so it's. And they're quite beautiful dogs. And I decided I wanted one for a pet. So when we were in Switzerland once, my mother's Swiss, so we would go to Switzerland. We found a farmer who sold us a puppy, and we brought Frischli back. We drugged him and put him on the airplane and brought him back, and he became my pet. And he was like, one of the first things I remember about him was that, after he stopped being a puppy, was that I decided to train him to heal. And so, you know, I took him out and I put a choke chain on him, and we were walking down the street, and then I like jerked the chain and I said, heel. And it was like so interesting. This dog, he stopped dead in his tracks. And he looked at me, you know, really what could only be described as a very dirty look, you know. And it was clear that I'd completely offended him. And he was so expressive about it that I never, ever put a chain on him again, and he always healed perfectly. He was just like, I've got this, no need to do that again, you know. And so Frischli always accompanied me, and everywhere I went and walked at my heel. And it was always interesting to watch him because he had a lot of decorum. And, you know, many times I'd see like somebody would come up to him and say, oh, nice dog, you know, and want to pet him. And he would just have this very kind of dignified way of giving them a very polite look, and then like sidestepping and continuing walking. It's like, look, I'm busy, you know, I'm with my owner, and please, you know. So he just had this real sense of decorum. And I guess the night that I want to describe, and this isn't like anything particularly dramatic or funny, but it's just like a beautiful moment with a dog. I was out for a walk. We live up on Ross Road, and so I was coming home very late one night. It was a summer night, and it was maybe about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was walking up Highland, and you know, those of you that know Highland, you know there's like when you walk along there, there's a lot of, actually it's like swampland, so nobody's ever built there, so there's like a lot of woods along the sidewalk on Highland Avenue. And I was walking alone. It was like really late at night. And all of a sudden, I heard this rustling in the bushes, and so of course I was a little worried. And then all of a sudden, this animal comes bounding out of the bushes, and he looks like a wolf. He's just like, you know, enormous, and he's carrying himself like a wolf. And he bounded out in front of me and like stood in front of me, kind of confronting me. And it was like this, so we faced each other, and I realized that this was Frishli. And he was going through the same thing too. He was looking at me, and suddenly I could see that he realized that it was me. And we just stared at each other because he was a wild animal at that moment. And we looked at each other, and I was actually scared of him because I realized he was stronger than me. And he was looking at me, and I could see the wheels turning. And all of a sudden, he just got this look on his face like, oh, my God. You know, like, whoops, master. And he just, like, shrank down to, like, a little size and, like, started wagging his tail and came and he, like, you know, he, you know, got next to my leg and, like, walked back with me, you know, like a dog again. But it was just like this moment, you know, where I saw the wild animal. And it was just a really beautiful moment. And it just really changed my, I think it changed the relationship for both of us, because I saw the animal in him, and I also saw, you know, what he, you know, his relationship to me. That, and I also saw what he kind of gave up in a way by being my dog, that he had this other side that he forfeited by being a pet. So it was just a beautiful relationship, and really loved Frishli. And it's funny because when I was living in Brooklyn, I was sitting on my front stoop about 3 years ago, and just kind of watching, you know, people go by, and I saw a woman walk by with an Uppensall, and it was clearly a purebred Uppensall. It was a beautiful specimen, and I saw, you know, I was so excited because you just never see them, and I said to her, "Where did you get that dog?" And she said, "Oh, I got it at the dog pound." And I said, "Well, that's a purebred Uppensall." She's like, no, this is a mutt. You know, it's just a mutt from the pound." I'm like, no, really, this is an Uppensall. And she's kind of like edging away from me, like, get away from me. And I'm like, no, really. And I'm kind of running after her down the street. And she just kind of fled. But she had a purebred Uppensall for some reason. So so that's the end of my story. Thank you for listening.
Time to say, when Satchel's feeling high, just kiss your cares goodbye. Old Satchel's mouth is looking right at you. Look at him smile, he's never blue. Rhythm don't mean a thing when Satchel's mouth starts to swing. Thank you.
Do you ever look back on your life and think about the people that created those moments that led you to who you eventually would turn out to be, or those moments that'll be with you forever? I can look back at when I first met my friend Neil, and he was fairly experienced in life by the time I met him, and I was still young. And he's one of those people that just has amazing experiences, whether it's selling cattle tags and coming up with new ways to market it, or...
What's a cattle tag?
Oh, the ear tags they put on cattle to keep track of the numbers of them.
Okay.
So Neil found out that farmers, you know, one cattle tag's no different than the other. So how do you market a cattle tag that's different from the other companies? Well, you offer the farmers a free hat. Then they'll want your cattle tag. Or whether it's coming up with new ways to, you know, maybe cut a diamond or market the diamond. Or whether it's telling you stories about Burning Man and how this 70-year-old man is, you know, has a Mormon background, and he's in this, you know, area where these women are running around topless. It's just kind of funny to think about. But, you know, Neil did graduate from Berkeley after all, so he does have that background. But I can remember that Neil and I were traveling down to a conference, and we happened to pull off at a road stop there, and there were these people there, and they were in this old beat-up pickup truck, and they weren't dressed so well, and it turns out their truck was broken down, and, you know, they didn't have much money. It was obvious they were fairly poor. And I can remember the thoughts in my head, because I grew up poor, but I thought, man, you know, they shouldn't have put themselves in that situation. You know, I wasn't exactly in a situation to help them, so I didn't really think two ways about it. But then there was Neil, and without a hesitation, Neil decided we have to help these people. So first thing he does is he reaches into his wallet and pulls out $20, you know, hands him $20. And then we go to the back of his car, and he pulls out his gas can and goes and puts a gallon or two of gas in these people's trucks so that they can continue on their way. And then Neil's wife had made us a plate of brownies, and of course he grabs the plate of brownies, and I was sad. And he offers the brownies to these people too. And, you know, and this is one of those experiences that I can look back on in my life, and it'll always be with me that without hesitation, he was there to help these people. And it didn't matter what their story was. It didn't matter whether they were telling the truth or whether they actually needed help or not. He was just there to help, and he was very happy to do it. And that was such a positive impact on my life, and I'll always be thankful for that. He's still around. He's working on stock market computing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's still a great friend. I do think that he's influenced me in such a way that I don't have to think about it.
Thank you for joining us around the table for Porch Stories, where we have just heard stories from Amy Beyer, Ursula Rudenberg, and Corey Snooks. The music you heard today was Kiri Takanawa, O Miu Babino Karo, and two songs by Louis Armstrong, Satchel Mouth Swing and Struttin' With Some Barbecue. Our theme music is Home Sweet Home by the Bray Brothers. Porch Stories is a production of KHOI Radio and is broadcast Wednesday evenings at 8:30. These stories come from regular events held every month, and everyone is welcome to attend and share your stories. Porch Stories is made possible by a generous grant from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. KHOI is building community through communication. If you would like to tell a story, email khoiradio@gmail.com or phone 515-292-2878. See you next week.